Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, return to Bothell. In a previous episode of The Grave Talks, we talked with Keith Linder about the haunting of his home. We discussed the chaos it caused in his personal life and the mental strain it took on him and his girlfriend at the time. His story was featured on an episode of Ghost Adventures. However, very little evidence was found by the Ghost Adventures crew, resulting in many calling Keith and his girlfriend a fraud. Despite the stories Keith shared and the existing evidence shown to a national audience, Keith endured ridicule and many expressing their doubt in his story. In 2012, Keith Linder and his girlfriend moved into what seemed like any other normal house in the Seattle suburb of Bothell. The phenomena they witnessed and fell victim to was truly horrific. Dark and overwhelming interactions with unexplained forces would change your lives forever and leave many in the paranormal community perplexed and questioning how such extremes could happen to one family alone. Today on The Grave Talks, we talk with Jenny Ashford about her book, House of Fire and Whispers, Investigating the Seattle Demon House. Jenny shares what happened with Keith after the Ghost Adventures episode and the compelling and shocking results of a more detailed investigation conducted by Steve Mara. Her story and accounts from Steve add a completely new layer to an already fascinating and amazing poltergeist case.
I had actually started out as a horror writer, like a horror fiction. Mm-hmm. And through my boyfriend, Tom Ross, he had experienced a very significant poltergeist phenomena when he was a boy back in the early 80s. And he had told me about it several times. And, you know, I'm kind of skeptical. And I was just kind of like, really? Did that really happen? And all this other stuff. But the more he told me about it, and I talked to his family members about it and stuff, and I was like, well, maybe there's something to this. So as the years went on, I was like, maybe we should write a book about it. It's such a great story, and I hadn't really read anything like that. So we wrote a book together about his experiences that was called The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. And then after, as we kind of got into talking about the book and doing promotional stuff for the book and things like that, he's like, you know, I'm kind of got more back into the whole poltergeist thing. I'm going to start looking for people online, parapsychologists and other people that have experienced it so that I can talk to them and maybe get a handle on what happened to me when I was a kid. And one of the people that he contacted, I believe he first contacted him on Facebook, was Steve Mara. And so they kind of struck up a friendship, and then I started talking to him, and he's a great guy. He's really interesting. He's really intelligent. And he actually read our book, The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist, and he gave it a review and stuff. And he's like, you know, I have a bunch of cases that you might want to write about. I don't really have time to write them. And, you know, it might be something that we could do at some point. So as, you know, as time went on, we kind of started interviewing him about some of his cases. And then I wrote a book with him called The Rochdale Poltergeist. And then after that was finished and that came out and he was kind of touring with that, and he said, oh, maybe we'll do another one at some point in the future. And then at that point, that was when Keith Linder had called him up and wanted him to come over from England to investigate his haunting. So after that whole thing happened in mid 2016, Steve was like, hey, do you want this to be our next project? I'll give you all the, you know, all of the SCP files and all of the thing, all of the data that I collect from it. And you can kind of put it into a book if you want to do that. So that's actually how I ended up writing a book with him about it. And I've actually only met Keith Linder once or twice, and it was over Skype. Mm-hmm. Most of the book was from Steve's investigation and, you know, what he experienced when he went there and everything that he was telling me about the impression that he got at the case. So I think that just kind of made it maybe kind of a more unique, you know, sort of angle on the book, because Keith has put out his own book recently, this just earlier this year, mm-hmm. about The Haunting. But mine's actually, it kind of goes into a little bit about what happened to Keith before Steve Mara and Don Phillips, before they got there in early 2016. But most of it is through Steve's eyes. It's, you know, it's kind of from his point of view and everything that he collected and he experienced. So it's kind of like a different angle, coming at it from a different angle.
And that's why I wanted to have you on about it, because it's been a very fascinating thing. I talked to Keith the other week, and I had him on as a guest to hear his story. I am someone, when I do interviews, I do not do a ton of pre-educating myself on the actual haunting itself, because I want to hear it for the first time from the people I'm talking to. I want to just absorb it. I don't want to go into any sort of preconceived notions or judgments or anything of that nature. So I was completely unaware of, I guess, the controversy, for lack of a better term, that was surrounding his story. And I'm not here to say I believe, I don't believe, things of that nature. I take everybody at their word for their experiences. That's the point of what we do on the show. And I don't really watch Ghost Adventures or anything of that nature. But he brought it up in our interview about the experience that he had with them. So out of curiosity, I wanted to see what he was referring to and how he was presented on that program. Did you have a chance, because I'm curious about your perspective on it going in, did you see that episode of Ghost Adventures that he was featured on prior to getting into this with Steve for writing the book?
I actually watched it after I had interviewed Steve, mm-hmm. after all the interviews with Steve were complete and we were talking about it, because he had brought it up, because I mean the whole Ghost Adventures debacle, mm-hmm. was sort of the catalyst for Keith calling up, you know, Steve Mara and Don Phillips, like trying to get an actual real respected parapsychological team to come in and sort of vindicate him, because I think he felt like the show did him quite a disservice. Mm-hmm. And so while I was working on the book and Steve kept bringing it up, and I was like, well, I got to get a hold of this. So I got to see it, you know, before I write the book, just, you know, for my own edification. And so I went and watched it, and it really did seem as though it's odd, because I'm not a huge fan of these sort of paranormal TV shows. You know, they're for entertainment, obviously, and I will watch them in that vein. But I'm kind of more on the scientific, you know, parapsychological sort of tip. And I, you know, so I think these shows kind of do a disservice, because they make everything, they really just want to go in and they're like, we want to capture stuff on camera. They're not really worried about, you know, being really stringent scientifically or anything of that nature. So the strange thing to me was that the fact that they went in there and made kind of a big deal about not really finding anything, which to me seemed very strange. It seemed to me that you'd think they would play up, you know, anything they found, because it was a TV show. But the way that they sort of said, oh, well, they're faking, or particularly the way that they treated his girlfriend at the time, Tina, making her look like she was responsible, or at least implying that she was responsible. And so I could kind of see why Keith was angry, and I could see for sure why Tina was angry and why she ended up leaving after the show aired, because she ended up getting a lot of abuse, so I've heard, because they thought that somehow she had some kind of bad mojo or bad vibes or something that was attracting negative energy to the house or whatnot. So, you know, I can kind of see how that goes. And like I said, I'm not a big fan of Ghost Adventures. I have to say, I'm not going to be too explicit, but I've never really liked that show. They're good for entertainment purposes, but I think as far as the serious investigation of paranormal activity goes, I think it's generally probably doing more harm than good. And I think it really did in this case.
I would agree. It was one of those things where, I mean, I understand how television production works. I've been involved in it. You have to have your angle. You have to have your side of the story. And typically I feel that show goes over the top to make a case for something when maybe there isn't. And they did the exact opposite on that episode. Granted, there were many, just from a looking at this evidence-wise, questionable things. It did look as though things had been spray-painted on the walls.
Sure.
There was a lot of things that did kind of raise some eyebrows. And I from the perspective of going, if I was a skeptic, I'd be very skeptical about this. But yeah. But then in talking to Keith, he seems extremely authentic. He seems extremely honest in what he's talking about, and very much affected by the case. So, I mean, it was really interesting because I did this all within the course of 2 hours of having a very in-depth conversation with him, and then seeing that and going, wow, that's interesting. What I know you in the book you talk about things kind of leading up here to the investigation where Steve came in. Does that pick up essentially what was going on with his world after the Ghost Adventures aired, and then into where Steve comes into the picture?
Yeah, that's definitely one. And like I said, you know, Keith was just looking, I think, for someone with some serious scientific credentials to mm-hmm. back him up and say, you know, I'm not crazy. I'm not making this up. I'm not hoaxing, I promise. And so he ended up, he had read a book. I don't remember if it was the other book that I had written with Steve, or it might have been another one about another case that Steve had done. But he actually ended up contacting Steve and his, you know, parapsychological establishment in England, in Manchester, and asking for help. Now, at first, and Steve was very adamant in, you know, detailing his whole process to this to me. He's like, you know, at first I get these emails from him, and he's sending me, you know, links to his YouTube channel where he's documented, because he was very stringent in, you know, videotaping everything that happened. He had security cameras all over his house. He had audio recorders going and things of that nature. So, and he had a YouTube channel where he would put up, you know, 7-8 hour videos, you know, that just had like a little bit of banging on it, like 4 hours in or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So Steve was like, so I kept getting these emails, and I kept getting these emails, and he's like, finally, you know, I figured, well, okay, he's not going to go away, so I have to keep, so, you know, I'm going to look into this and see if there's anything worth looking at. And one of the videos that he looked at, he said that kind of changed his mind. He's like, because I saw one on YouTube that was 7 hours long, and it was just basically a video of an empty hallway. It was one that he had just filmed while he was at work one day, and it just was filmed the hallway. And he's just like, there's nothing happened for 4 hours. And then about 4 hours in, there was like this weird banging. And he's like, you know, if someone was going to go to all the trouble to fake this, you'd think that they would have made the video shorter. They would have faked something that showed up on camera rather than just a strange like audio anomaly that could have been any one of many other things. So he said, so maybe there's something to this. So he started talking to Keith, you know, emailing him back and forth. And he talked to him on Skype a couple of times. And as he researched the case, and he told me this, you know, very in no uncertain terms, he's like, when I investigated the case and looked into it and was thinking about going to investigate it, he's like, I noticed that Ghost Adventures had been there. Several other psychic teams and local paranormal investigators had been there. It had been in the media quite a bit, and a lot of the attention surrounding it was very negative. He said, so he's like, 9 times out of 10 in a case like this, we would not investigate it because it was just too much baggage. We wouldn't be able to approach it with the objectivity that we like to approach it with. But he said, you know, the more I talked to Keith and the more I looked into his case and stuff, he's like, I felt that he was very sincere, and I felt that he sincerely needed our help. And he's like, so that was kind of the thing that decided him to actually come, because it was a big deal for them. I mean, they had to go all the way to Seattle from Manchester. It was very expensive. They don't usually do a lot of investigations out of England. So he's like, it was kind of a big deal for us to take it on because it had been such a controversial case. And he's like, and we don't usually like to get involved in that type of thing because we can't approach it with any objectivity.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.